Okay. What you have in front of you is taken from Rav Nevensal Shlita's Sichos to Rosh Hashanah. Rav Nevensal has written many Svarim. The original seven Svarim were Sichos on the five Chumashim and Sichos to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Then around 10 years ago, he began writing this new series called Yerushalayim v'Moadeha, Pesach, Shavuos, the 3 weeks, three on Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, Tishrei, he wrote one on Tishrei, and the plan is, Bezrat Hashem, I think there's a Min Chanukah and Purim, I think, Bezrat Hashem, and maybe one, I don't know. I'll explain. Rav Nevensal likes to learn all the time. So here's what happens. He's given many sichos and lectures, whatever, and he has different things written up in different places. So they send a couple of his sichos, I think to one of his daughters, who types it up, transcribes it, and his notebooks. They transcribe in nice typed print. Rav Chizkiya then takes it, and Rav Chizkiya sort of is the one who puts it together into the editor of it. Then, before it's printed, it goes back to Rav Nevensal, and he looks at it. So, like, there were times, like when he was writing the Pesach book, like, Rav Chizkiya would bring up Nevensal, like, 50 pages. He'd read them, and then, like, put a red mark here and there, and go back. So, it's Rav Nevensal's Torah, and the actual, like wording and order, Rav Chizkiya plays a major plays a major role. So like, they take old recordings and they turn it into source. That's what they use in the source. Nevensal has like been writing 10 books with like almost no like direct input. He's always learning. So I'm telling you, that's why you came to yeshiva. Now you understand, right? So that's how the system works. Now, hope. That's how the system works. Now, is Rosh Hashanah a day of tshuva? Yes or no?
Yes.
The answer is yes. Somebody said no. So, to the person who said no, I'll ask you, who's buried in Grant's tomb?
What color is George Washington's Grant? Horse?
What color is George Washington's white horse?
Black.
White. How many days are there in the 10 days of tshuva?
Ten.
So Rosh Hashanah is a day of tshuva. But the question is as follows. Guys, listen up. Hope. Here's the question. How can Rosh Hashanah be a day of tshuva? You don't mention chatayim. It's a good question. What is tshuva? Oh, Hashem, I did this chait. I feel bad. Charata, I won't do it again. You don't mention. We go out of our way not to mention chait and Rosh Hashanah. This is a very good question, fundamental question. What is the nature of the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah? How can Rosh Hashanah be a day of tshuva if you're not talking about chait at all? You avoid it. You know, we say avinu malkeinu Rosh Hashanah. Some have a custom to not say the first one. Why? Chatanu lefanecha. Some don't say the first one. You don't say chait. It's a great question. Got it? It's a fundamental question. What is the nature of the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah? So to answer there, Rav Nevensal gives a mashal. On page 1, where it says the paragraph which says number 1. This is the mashal. This mashal is not good. This mashal is perfect. You want to knock down a building. There are two ways to knock down a building. One way is, you take this big crane and a wrecking ball and you smash the building one floor at a time and the whole building falls down eventually. That's one way to knock down a building. Good. There's another way to knock down a building. Take a bulldozer. Don't touch the building. Dig under the building and rip out the foundations. Every building has a foundation. I live next door to my shul. So what happened was the city gave us land for the shul. The shul raised money. They had enough money. They dug a big hole, a huge hole in the mountain, and we ran out of money. So for 1 year, we had a hole next to our house. So, but it was our hole. So on Lag BaOmer, our shul used that hole for their Lag BaOmer fire. It was a big open area. It was great. That's that we saw. Oh, we have a hole in the ground. It was a huge, like it was like a cavity, like a huge thing. The whole shul. All right. Then we got more money, and they had enough money to dig the foundations. It's very cool to watch. You have these like these corkscrew drills, and you dig out. You pour concrete. And you build a foundation. They ran out of money again. We had a foundation for a couple of months. Then we built the top. Then little by little. So I saw it has a foundation. You go in. If you rip out the foundation of the building, then the building collapses on itself without touching any of the floors. Rav Nevensol says Yom Kippur is the wrecking ball example, and Rosh Hashanah is the digging out the foundation. Yom Kippur, you attack every chait. This chait, a chait, Hashem, I feel bad about that chait, I won't do it again. You attack every specific chait. On Rosh Hashanah, you attack the foundation of chait. How do you attack the foundation of chait? We emphasize and talk about the fact that Hashem is the king. Hashem is the melech. If I believed that Hashem is the melech, he runs the world, he runs my country, he runs my life, he runs my parnasa, he runs my health, he runs every single detail about my life. It's all in Hashem's hands. And I know, I believe in Schar Va'Onesh, how in the world could I do a sin? What am I, insane? If I really believed, if I internalized fully that Hashem is the melech, and Rav Nevensol says, not a melech like nowadays you have kings with no power. Imagine a complete, total, what they use the word, benevolent dictator. Complete authority. Whatever he says goes in everything. That's Rosh Hashanah. I'm attacking the foundation. On Rosh Hashanah, we work on our emunah. We work on our kabbalas, O Malchus Shamayim. Malchus, Hashem's the king. Hashem's the king. If I believed that, then automatically I will stop doing Averas, not by focusing on any specific Avera. Automatically, it's a great fort. This is a great pshat. You hear? It's a great pshat. Rosh Hashanah is a huge day of tshuva. It's a day of tshuva where you attack the foundations of chait. That's what he says in paragraphs 1 and 2. You're digging out the foundation. And Rav Nevensol explains, the more you weaken the foundation, then when Yom Kippur comes, and you attack every chait, it's much easier to knock the building down. So on Rosh Hashanah, the emphasis is malchus. Hashem runs the world, Hashem governs my life, and therefore, and by definition, I'm going to do what he says. And that's why, look in paragraph 3 and 4, we constantly mention melech. Hashem, we say melech HaKadosh. Melech al kol ha'aretz. We have Malchios. Melech Elyon. We say Melech over and over and over again. Because this is the theme of Rosh Hashanah. There are many themes of Rosh Hashanah. The primary theme is Malchus. Hashem's, when you blow the shofar, the simple pshat of blowing the shofar is, when you coronate a king, you blow the shofar. Hashem, you're the king too! And that's what shofar, that's the pashat, one of the pashat shots of shofar. This is the pshat of Rosh Hashanah as a day of tshuva. Break, knock down the building by going at the roots, at the foundation. Oh, next page. There's paragraph 6 and 7. This is interesting. The theme of Rosh Hashanah is malchus. Very nice. So Nevensol says, why don't we go to shul, say Shema, say Hashem is the king, go home. Half an hour. We say malchus hundreds, thousands of times. Why do we say it over and over and over again? It's enough already. Over and over and over again. Why such the repetition? Look inside. Paragraph 6 on the second page. In Kol Yinosh Rosh Hashanah, Hu Echad V'Yachad Lakir B'Malchus Hashem, go have the apple dipped in the honey. Why do you daven the whole day? Here's the answer. This is the answer. The whole year, we read the newspaper. We listen to the radio. We check the news on our iPhones. And what does it say? It says, God forbid. Okay. Okay, here we go. Listen. And we read about Obama does this, this one does that, and Putin does this. We are bombarded with information which makes it seem like Hashem's not running the world. It's run by this one and that one. So we need a massive dose of Malchus, a massive dose of repeating it. Yes, we need 5,000 times. We have to undo the entire misinformation, the misunderstanding that's been built up over the whole year as if it's others who are controlling it. And that's the pshat of the long Davin and Rosh Hashanah. It takes a long time to get to the emes and to emphasize, it's for emphasis. We're emphasizing, we're reiterating, and reiterating again and again and again, Hashem's the Melech, and automatically then we'll stop doing Chatayim. So that's Rav Nevensol's approach to the nature of the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. It's a very, very nice pshat. Finally, a brief Dvar Torah on the Parsha, which is directly about the tshuva. This Dvar Torah is very dear to me because it's the first thing I ever heard from Rav Soloveitchik himself on a tape, the Ravzat song. You know, I was never in the Rav Shir, I never saw that. I was too young to be in the Shir. So once, it was in the Mateys, and someone gave me some tapes that the Rav gave. He gave Shirman the Parsha in Boston one summer, and I listened to the tapes. It was unbelievable. So exciting. So here's the idea. This is about Parshas Nitzavim. Parshas Re'eh starts with the famous pasuk, Re'eh Anochi Nosin Nechem Yom Brachu Uchlala, the Brach and the Klala. Parshas Re'eh begins with Brachu Uchlala. Okay. The Ramban there explains that the words Brachu Uchlala mean Derech Bracha and Derech Klala. Hashem's giving you the way of Bracha, the Ramban, and the way of Klala. And the Ramban says, the Torah is telling us to choose the way of Bracha. So if you look in the Ramban, beginning of Parshas Re'eh, Rashi there explains the Pesukim differently. If you learn the famous Rashi's on the Chumash, you'll see. But the Ramban says no. The Ramban says the Parsha is referring to B'chira Chashis. Good. So far, so good. Open up Nitzavim. Open up Parshas Nitzavim, this week's Parsha. There's a long paragraph in this week's Parsha where the Torah talks about Hashem says, I've given you Chaim and Tov, Mavis and Ra, and the Torah says, Bacharta Bachaim, choose the right path. In other words, this week's Parsha has the pasuk that talks about what? About? B'chira Chashis. So what's the Kasha? What's the Kasha? Why is it repeated? This is the question. According to the Ramban, that the first pasuk in Parshas Re'eh talks about Bechira Chafshis. Why does the Torah repeat Bechira Chafshis again in Nitzavim? Got it? That's a question. The way the Rav Soloveitchik explained, the way Rashi learned the Psukim in Re'eh, the Psukim there aren't discussing Bechira Chafshis. So there's no kasha. Only one time. According to the Ramban, it's mentioned already over there. Why is it repeated again here? So the Rav gave two answers, and one answer was as follows. If you open up Nitzavim, the paragraph before Bechira Chafshis talks about doing tshuva. B'shav Hashem Elokecha, doing tshuva. And the Rav explained the following idea. You know, it's hard to do tshuva. A person does an aveira, sometimes gets into a bad habit, and a person can say to himself, this is a mistake. I can't change. You know, there's regular b'chiro chafshis. You know, I'm deciding, should I have more kavana now, less kavana, yes lashon hara, no lashon hara. That's regular b'chiro chafshis. But once a person gets involved in chait, and he's done a certain chait, and he's done it a lot of times, and it's too hard to change. It's too challenging. A person might say to himself, my Bechira Chafshis is a little limited. I can't change. It's impossible. So what does the Torah do? It reiterates. It reemphasizes Bechira Chavshis when? Right after the mitzvah of tshuva. What's the Torah teaching you? What's the Torah teaching you? What's it teaching you? That you always have the Bechira Chavshis, even when it's really, really challenging. This is a beautiful shot. A person struggling to do tshuva. I don't know, I can't do it. Hashem says, look on the Torah. I gave you Bechira Chavshis, that's regular Bechira Chavshis. Then I give you the mitzvah of tshuva. Hashem's saying, I know tshuva is difficult. Right after the mitzvah of tshuva in the Torah, there's the parasha of Bechira Chavshis again. To emphasize, you always have Bechira Chavshis. Don't give up. Don't have yeyush. It is possible to make that change and do tshuva. This is a beautiful shot Rav Soloveitchik gave. That might be why Bechira Chavshis is what? Is repeated. To emphasize that you always have Bechira Chavshis, even when something is very difficult. If you're facing a big challenge in Avodas Hashem, this is a big chizuk. Look at Parshas Nitzavim. Tshuva, look down a few psukim, Bechira Chavshis. That's the yesod. So these are two ideas helping us to move into Rosh Hashanah. One, what is the nature of the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah? It's digging out the foundations. And number two, the whole yesod of tshuva is built on Bechira Chavshis, and the Torah is emphasizing to us that we always have Bechira Chavshis, even the difficult Bechira Chavshis of doing tshuva, of making a change. Got it?